Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It's a great day for a podcast. Once again, here he is, John Oakley.
Great afternoon for Talk Radio. You know, it's even greater because we've got the Premier of the province, Doug Ford, who has joined us live in studio, no less. Doug, good to have you on board. Nice to see you again. All these years later, we finally come back together.
Yeah, absolutely.
In person.
Yeah. Oh, this is great, Johnny. It's great to be back here. And I think it was Thursday mornings at 8:30. Rob used to get on, or 8 o'clock in the morning. And I think that was probably the number one show anywhere when you had Rob on.
And well, now we got you on.
Yeah, but go to Root Cause, why I'm Premier. Because you gave Rob the opportunity and the microphone to voice his opinion. He got elected mayor, dragged me into the city council, and that's why I'm mayor right now. I'm mayor, I should say premier. And Rob was mayor,
right?
Is because he had an opportunity to voice his opinion. And I'll never forget, I went to a meeting once, and well, I won't name the name, but the top executive in Canada, one of them, said, and I didn't know who he was, Rob didn't know who he was, he said, Rob, I get my driver to pick me up early on Thursday mornings because I tune in to you and John Oakley.
It's amazing, eh? Yeah. We come full circle.
Yeah, but have we ever.
Still some people who blame me for that, though.
That's it. Well,
anyway, no, I'm goofing it. With you. Yeah. By the way, you okay? You got a coffee? Or
yeah, wine? I'm good. Everything's great here. Great to be back.
Okay, well, hey, Downey, I want you to draw chips for all the OPP guys, okay? They're playing with house money this afternoon. Anyway. Running this like a casino. Anything of interest happening today that we need to know about?
Well, we dropped off a big check, $114 million check, over to the city of Toronto because they really hammered the housing targets. They went over 51%, so they're building, which is great. And we gave them that incentive, and they stepped up to the plate. They knocked it out of the park.
You know, I was watching that, and all the particulars would be on the government's website and the city's website, I'm sure. But the one thing that impressed me the most, not a word of a lie, you look pretty good in that black suit. That's from Tom's place, isn't it?
Oh, Tom's great. I love Tom. I buy my suits over at Tom's place. And folks, if you ever want a quality suit, go to Tom's place in Kensington Market.
I don't even have to do the ad
on,
today.
On Oxford.
You just did. Well, it's on Baldwin, but it's Baldwin, close enough. You're all around the net.
Yeah, that's it.
But you know, hey, by the way, you can still go out and shop that way. I mean, people don't come up to you on the street. You can do that?
I love escaping from my detail, the OPP. It drives them crazy. But I love just getting out there, meeting the people. I love going into the big box retailers, no matter if it's the Walmart, Home Depot, Loblaws, Costco's, Sobeys. I think I covered them all. Canadian Tire.
And you better cover them all.
Well, I covered them all. I made sure. I think I covered all of them. But I just go out there by myself, and you get the pulse of the people.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's retail politics. I learned it from the best ever, and that was Rob, best retail politician this country's ever seen. But you really hear from the people, and that's why I give my phone number out to everyone as well.
You learned that from Rob too.
Oh yeah, you give your phone number out, man, you'll get a couple hundred messages a day, and every issue you can think of and stuff you can't even think of. But I call it the 911 hotline. They need help. Have you ever tried to get a hold of any level of government? It's almost impossible.
Yeah, the 311.
So you give my line a call, and I'll do everything I can to help you and your family out.
You know, it's funny when you mention how Rob, retail politics and how he touched people. Do you remember probably about 10, 12 years ago, we were in Florida together?
Yes.
And we went to a Leaf game during
That's
the Christmas
right.
break.
I remember. And we were the last to leave the parking lot. People were just...
It was Beatlemania.
Oh, Beatlemania. That's a good way to describe it. But that's everywhere when I went with Rob.
Yep. The funny thing about it was I got a lift with you guys, but I couldn't get back because I had a golf game at 8 o'clock in the morning with the former CEO of this place, John Cassaday.
That's right.
And I had to say, you guys, you do your thing. I got to just grab a hack and get home because I had an 8 o'clock tee off time. Yeah. But it was nuts like that. Do you get anything like that when you go out in public?
Well, I say, you know, some people like me, but they loved Rob. I hear stories about him every single day. And it's amazing, Johnny, no matter where I am in the province. They'd show me a picture, and he helped me with this. He helped me with that. And it's every day. So we miss him tremendously. And I know quite a few people miss him. There'll never be a guy like him.
For you, though, what's the best part of the job?
Is getting out of the bubble. I call Queen's Park the bubble.
Yeah.
And you listen to the bureaucrats. And we got good public service up there. They're really good folks and good politicians. But I like getting out of there and traveling around the province and listening to people and hearing their concerns. Our province logistically is massive. It's almost twice the size of Texas. It is larger than California and Texas combined. It's just a massive area. I always say you can drive to Florida quicker than you can drive from one top of our province around the loop all the way out to the Manitoba border. You can make it to Florida a lot quicker.
Yeah. You know, besides that, though, I mean, where you got your start in politics was with your brother here.
That's right.
As a counselor. Like, I was watching a press conference today, and I thought to myself, you know, you probably have some great insights into how the city works and the challenges they face, right?
Yes, and absolutely
so,
we do.
I mean, how does that explain that you maybe have a greater empathy for Olivia Chow? I know before the election you were saying, well, it's going to be a disaster if she gets elected. Now it's all chummy, sweetness and light, you know, beer and Skittles, right? So what's going on there?
Well, I just believe once the people speak, we live in a democracy and you work with people. You know, Johnny, no different than Rob or myself. I don't care what political stripe you're from, and that's kind of what we believe in, and just work with anyone. It doesn't matter if you're from the green, the red, the blue, the orange party, whatever. We work for the people at the end of the day. And I put our political stripes aside and do what's best for, in this case, the people of Toronto.
You know, you just reminded me of something, putting political stripes aside.
Yeah.
When you used to come in as a panelist and you and Adam Vaughn would go at it hammer and tong.
Yeah.
And right afterwards, I think to myself, there's, you know, a lot of bitterness and bile there. You'd say, hey, Adam, I need a lift back to City Hall.
Yeah.
You give him a lift. I mean,
yeah,
it was like,
right.
Who were the cartoon characters that you likened it to? You guys were always fighting and then you'd resolve things and then go off in your merry way.
Yeah, that's no different than Queen's Park when you watch us at the legislature. You know, we sit there chatting with each other and had a good chat with John Fraser. He asked how my family was. I asked how his was. We're chatting and you got to put politics aside at that point. They have their job to do. We have our job to do. And that's all part of politics, I guess.
Yeah, you know, well, it is. And so there are certain points where you're obviously compatible with other, let's say, goals or initiatives with Olivia Chow and the housing thing, eh?
Yes.
Saw that today.
Yes.
But even Poilievre, you know, it seems like you guys are all singing off the same hymn sheet. He wants to get rid of all the gatekeepers, so to speak, and, you know, withhold infrastructure money. He says if he's prime minister until cities comply, and it's not just, you know, promising to build houses. You got to actually have projects completed or the shovels in the ground so the commitment is made there. Would you agree? I mean, everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, everyone wants to build homes. It doesn't matter what party you belong to. But, you know, that Minister Guibo, the federal environmental minister, I couldn't believe what he said the other day. They're no longer going to fund building roads and highways.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what are we doing? Are we going to be riding on horseback or bicycles or whatever? But I didn't realize that he held the infrastructure minister portfolio, which he doesn't. But this is the same guy, Guibo, that chains himself to trees in the CN Tower. And, you know, he's an extremist. I always believe we can reduce emissions. We can be very environmentally conscious. It's not either or with me. It's and. We're building the largest subway system in North America. It's getting people out of their cars. We've invested over $28 billion. Around the world, there's been an investment of $28 billion in EV vehicles.
Yeah, but is that going to fly, Doug? I mean, seriously, you think that Guibo's saying by 2035, every car
Well, that's unacceptable. You don't know. That's totally unacceptable. You can't do that. You have to let the market dictate. We're moving at a rapid pace because the market's dictating. That's going to be up to the auto sector. I spoke to all the large CEOs the large auto manufacturers, and they aren't going to be ready by 2035. So they aren't thinking this out properly, Guibo, but we're going to continue building. I went to the auto show. If you didn't make it down there, you should. You should. I don't know if it's still open, but man, there's a lot of slick vehicles there. I always thought I was under the perception I might, you know, might get 300 kilometers on a battery charge, but man, they're 740 kilometers. It's no different, Johnny. I compare it to, remember when the cell phones came out?
Yeah,
your battery would die in 2 hours. Now it could last forever. It's a lot smaller, more compact. So the technology is going to get us there.
Okay. I didn't even want to bring up cell phones, Doug. So let me just park that for now. Anywho, you know, the Guibo thing, let me just riff on that for a second, because I was really kind of bewildered and perplexed. Here's a guy, no new roads. He's not going to invest in new roads, but they poured a ton of money. You did as well into EV battery production. Yeah. You got to get the precious minerals from the Ring of Fire.
Yeah, that's right.
How the hell are you going to get to the Ring of Fire?
Yeah, well, that's another problem. This guy is really, really out to lunch, in my opinion. He's holding up Highway 413. And Johnny, in 35 years of being in politics, our family, the federal government's never, ever interfered in building highways. Well, he's interfering, trying to stop that. He's trying to stop the road to the Ring of Fire that have the precious metals up there to be able to build the EVs. You know, everything needs a precious metal in it, no matter if it's your cell phone or the EVs. We have 34 of the most precious metals, critical minerals that people need around the world. We're going to build the road with them or without them. And that's how we do it.
You're going to do the 413 the same way, no?
Yeah, we're going to do the same to the 413, but they keep delaying it.
Who's the
court, well, the federal government, Guibo. But the courts decided in our favor. Anything to do with natural resources and the Constitution, it falls under the province responsibility. But he wants to stick his nose in and stop transportation across the board. As we're growing at the fastest rate than any jurisdiction in Ontario, we need to build highways. We need to build roads and bridges and schools and hospitals. And we're investing $183 billion in infrastructure right now, $70 billion in transit, $28 billion in building roads and highways.
But, you know, I read the other day, somebody said that this guy's agenda is to deindustrialize. He's that much of an ideologue.
Yeah, he is. And we'll see what happens in the election. The people will have an opportunity to voice their opinion. But
well, do you think the people along that corridor, the 413?
Well, they're going to lose. We won every single seat in that area, be it Brampton and Caledon and Mississauga, based on the 413.
It.
They're for it. Poll after poll after poll. And I just do not understand. Sometimes I sit back and wonder, who's running the country, Justin Trudeau or Guibo? And right now, I don't know who's running the country.
Sort of tail wagging the dog. Kind
yeah,
of thing.
Absolutely.
But there's more upside, you're saying, to 413 than there would be downside. Because, you know, I mean, there are criticisms. We hear some spots playing on a radio. I hear or read op-ed pieces too. Environmentalists, farmers are saying, you know, this is cutting through prime farmland. So,
the farmers endorsed us up in that area because they want to get their goods to market as quickly as possible rather than sitting on the 400 or the 401 forever. We need to continue building. Building highways and roads, and we're doing that. Bradford Bypass, Highway 413, expanding Highway 3 down in southwestern Ontario, Highway 7 over in the Kitchener Corridor. We're building like no other government's ever built before.
Yeah, you see, this is the thing I can't reconcile. Guibo doesn't want any more road or infrastructure spending. Yeah, we got 1 million people coming into the country, the bulk of whom are coming into Ontario and around the GTA. So I don't know how you square that circle exactly. And then you got to build housing to accommodate.
Yeah.
Shoot straight with me here. 1.5 million over 10 years, Doug. Seems like a pipe dream. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think so. I think if everyone hit the targets that Toronto did, it hit over 51%, we'll exceed that. And a lot of cities are. And that's why we're putting the Builder Fasting, the Build Faster Fund together for municipalities. We're actually paying municipalities if they hit their target. But there's one jurisdiction or one city in Ontario that's one of the worst in the entire province.
Well,
that's Mississauga.
Okay.
It has actually shrunk. You know our good friend Hazel. She'd be doing cartwheels right now if she ever found out that the city of Mississauga actually shrunk. The only jurisdiction in Ontario with a housing boom going on and with a population boom. How does that happen? I'll tell you, it's incompetence from the previous mayor.
All right. So basically, you've fired a shot across the bow of Bonnie Crombie, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's a political answer to all extents and purposes. But let me just back it up a little bit on the $1.5 million. And here's the thing that eludes me. I heard it again today. You said it. I think you said it last week, too, in a presser. Attainable housing, affordable housing. Is that a difference without a distinction or a distinction without a difference? What is the difference? What is it?
Well, they're coming out with what attainable housing is. We're working with stakeholders.
What is it?
It's basically you're going to be able to own a home, but it's going to be more attainable. But do you know where the problem is?
What does that mean, Doug? What does it mean? It's attainable.
Yeah, it's attainable. It's going to be a lower cost than regular priced homes.
You're geared to what, though?
Income? The way we do it is we're looking for land right across the province, provincially owned land. The highest cost of building anything is the dirt, as we call it, the land itself.
Uh-huh.
So we'll be able to use our land at no cost and get people to build. But we're going to continue building at a rapid pace, and we'll hit our targets as long as all the other municipalities build at the same rate and cut through the red tape and regulations. John, you've heard builders in this city say it's taken 3 to 4 to 5 years to get a building permit.
Yeah.
It's unheard of. And well, you either want to build or you don't want to build. The municipalities that want to build, they're going to be rewarded with a nice size sum that they can put into infrastructure.
Well, we have some mutual friends who are developers.
Yeah.
You know, you get criticized because they say you're sort of catering or pandering to them. Now, I get it because, I mean, you know, they sort of hedge these guys. They make contributions to every party and so on.
Every party.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. But we need them. That's the problem.
Well, yeah,
we need them. We can't build homes without builders.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, politics runs on contributions. I mean, cash, you can't really separate yourself from needing that juice to run a campaign, et cetera, no?
Yeah. So we had, I think the number they gave me, 28,000 individuals of $10, $15, $20, $50 contributions. So the vast majority of any fundraising we do come from the average, blue-collar, hardworking person that gives us $10 or $20 or $30. That's where the majority of the fundraising comes from. We send out emails and letters, and people respond because they know that under the previous government, Liberal government, there's 300,000 jobs lost, chased out of this province. Businesses were leaving in the droves. Today, there's 700,000 more people working today than there was 5 years ago. We've never raised the tax on people or on businesses. We reduced taxes for businesses to a tune of $8 billion to make ourselves more competitive. And that's why, and even the people, we've reduced the burden of taxes.
Well, hang on just a sec, because, you know, when we got Olivia Chow and she raised it 9.5%, right?
Mm-hmm.
I saw you today in the presser and you said, well, you know, you don't dictate whatever any city or municipality needs to do for. Okay. But that all being said, you were a councillor for a while. So that's why it dials back to what I asked you earlier. If you, because you have some empathy or you understand the lay of the land for the city, right?
Yeah,
as far as the inner workings. So what would you have done with the budget? Look, you know, the police budget, they asked for 20 mil. She was only giving them 12. Then she conceded, okay, we'll do the 20. I even thought 20 was light.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Did you agree with that? You would have done better than 20 if you were in charge?
Johnny, I'll tell you our story. Our story is when I first walked into City Hall with Rob, the city manager came up to us and said, you have $774 million of pressure and you got to raise your taxes 15%. And Rob and I looked at him and said, we aren't raising taxes. We're going to drive efficiencies because we know there's waste. Not only did we not raise taxes 10 to 15%, we delivered the first 0% tax increase. And we delivered two budgets back to back. And we saved the taxpayers $1 billion If people want to be prudent fiscal managers, they will be.
And are you saying the city's not?
I can't give my opinion. I haven't been down there for a number of years. They know the needs and requirements they have, so I can't comment without looking at their books. But all I'm saying is when we came into office at the province, revenues were $150 billion. We grew the revenues $52 billion without ever raising a tax because there's 700,000 more people working today that are paying up the Queen's Park coffers. There's a $28 billion of investment from companies that are invested here that are paying taxes in the EV and auto sector.
So there's growth. But Doug, yeah, let me get it back to the
growth.
Okay. The city, though, if you were in charge of that budget, because I know you're close to the police. In fact, you've got some members in your own family now.
Yeah.
Would you have increased the number of police? I mean, Olivia, and there were still some people down there at city council who want to defund despite, you know, the crime being spiked and all the rest of that. Would you have increased the cop contingent?
Well, we've never seen more crime in Toronto and the GTA with these auto thefts. And we're pouring money in supporting the police and we're supporting them.
What about the city, though?
Guns and gangs. But that gets distributed to all regions, be it the city of Toronto, Halton region, Durham region, York region, Peel region. That whole region are getting funds from us to support them in targeting these terrible criminals. Johnny, I don't think there's a person in Toronto or the GTA that doesn't know someone that had their car stolen. Now they're crossing the line. These violent criminals are kicking in doors, putting guns to people's heads.
Yeah,
and then we, you know, the police arrest them, and some weak-kneed justice of the peace lets them out the same day.
Yeah.
And saying, oh, he is a good boy. You know, yeah, you just put a gun to someone's head.
Yeah.
And these guys need to be thrown in jail. The keys need to be thrown away. And all the criminals, if they're listening, driving around in a stolen car, we're coming to get you. We're going to catch you. And we're going to throw you in jail for a long time.
What do you think my audience is, like criminals and stolen cars?
I don't know, Johnny. They might be tuning in as they're driving to the ports to put them in the bins, which is unacceptable. So there's a multi-prong approach. You know, we have to make sure we screen the Montreal ports. We have to make sure when we catch these criminals, they get thrown in jail, have detention orders. They don't get out on bail. And you'll see a big difference if everyone cooperates on that side.
Yeah, you know, I'm still kind of curious if you would have raised the number of police officers you would have hired, because I know during the campaign, the election campaign, the municipal one, there was talk of 500 more officers, which just take us back about half a dozen years ago through attrition and everything. Because you're a big law and order guy. Yeah. I mean, you just told us about how you would handle things. And you've got family members. Some of your daughters are married to police officers.
Yeah, 3 out of 4.
You know, there's another issue that's arisen because a lot of the police officers, even despite people thinking that they're making pretty good coin, can't afford to live in Toronto. There's a lot
that's
of that.
Right. Absolutely.
The affordability issue, which gets me back to, you never did answer the question, what's the difference between affordability and attainability?
Well, again, we're going to be coming out with that definition very, very shortly, but attainable homes, you'll have ownership in it. Because I always believe if someone owns the home, they're going to take care of it, right? They're going to put money into it. And the biggest culprit out of all this, where we've seen inflation, and thank goodness inflation dropped below 3% the other day to 2.9%, is the Bank of Canada. That's what really causes inflation, mortgages and gas prices. That's a big chunk of it.
Yeah.
If we get the gas prices down and that carbon tax is terrible, they're going to raise it again April the 1st. They're going to gouge us for 17.5 cents per liter. We reduced our share of 10.7 cents per liter. And the Bank of Canada has to lower the interest rates. It's bottom line. They're hurting people, hurting families, and wait until people start renewing in a year or two.
Well, they say they may do that the next time they meet on the 6th of March, but the idea, too, though, that, you know, gas prices, the carbon tax.
I know the worst tax ever. It affects everything. It affects food. It affects transportation going from point A to point B. It affects every single family in this province. They're gouging the people on this carbon tax. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, and so your bill that you tabled earlier this week, the Get It Done bill, where yes. you're saying there's going to be any future government that holds wants to promote a carbon tax would have to put it to a referendum.
Yeah. That's correct.
So in other words,
yeah, they're going to be held accountable. We'll make it law that if you want to jack up taxes on people, a carbon tax, you have to go to the people and hold a referendum.
But then a subsequent government could just rewrite the law.
They could do it, but we're going to hold them accountable.
Oh, I see. So yeah, it's a marker. You put a marker down.
Yeah, absolutely we do.
Okay. And in other words, then that would be a testament to whether or not they're on the side of the people or they want to ram things through.
We just have to create the environment, the conditions for companies to come here and invest. We're in such a competitive market, and we're doing that. The manufacturers of Ontario, we've created more jobs last year than all 50 states combined in manufacturing. That says everything, because we've created that environment on making sure we're competitive with jurisdictions all over the world.
Yeah, you compete.
We're an economic powerhouse now, Johnny. Mm. Right here, everyone's talking about it. I met with governors and senators, and one governor came to me and said, "Wow, what are you doing, Doug? You're eating our lunch." And I said, "Governor, we're going to eat your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, and dessert."
Who's the governor?
I can't name the governor.
Give me the state.
I can't.
I'll figure it out for myself, Doug. Yeah.
But there's
charades.
A lot of people.
You can just do the charades. Yeah. It won't play on the radio, and I'll figure it out.
You know something? We're the fastest growing region in North America by population now. We're over 16 million. We'll be larger than New York State in 5 years. But in saying that, we have to build the infrastructure. We have to build the housing and the roads and the highways. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're blessed to live in Ontario. I'll tell you, the greatest jurisdiction in the world.
It's like we won the lottery.
Well, I feel that way.
Yep.
Anyone that lives here, you've traveled the world, so have I. I've spent a tremendous amount of time in the U.S. There's no jurisdiction better than Ontario.
Well, nowhere. You know, okay. I mean, you're singing the praises of Ontario, and I get it. I mean, yeah. I think we're fortunate.
Are we ever?
But boy, the media sometimes, they go after you hammer and tong, don't they? They went after your brother big time, too.
Yeah, I know.
Are they fair to you, do you think?
Not at all, but that's all right.
Wait a minute, not at all.
Not at all.
Why not at all?
Well, I don't know. They're very political, and I just stick to hard.
Well,
I know
you're
we're
in
doing
politics,
the right
though. Of course
I
they're
know,
political.
But you know something? That's fine. I'm not worried about it.
How are they not fair, Doug?
Well, they're just constantly just attacking, but I don't mind. That's all part of politics. That's part of their job. I'm going to focus on the job at hand and making sure we continue with prosperity, the likes of which this province has never seen before, and that's what's happening right now, right across the board. There's no place anywhere in North America like Ontario. Just think of it. We produce everything here, even our agricultural sector. We shipped out $19.6 billion of tomatoes and cucumbers and everywhere.
Getting hungry,
Doug.
Making me hungry.
You know, when it comes to beverage and food, $57 billion. These are big, big numbers. And we're the third largest trading partner, if we were a standalone country, to the U.S. We do about $460 billion of two-way trade, and it's split down the middle. And we're number one trading partner in 19 states, number two to 9 other states. So we are a powerhouse economically.
Well, the agricultural thing, I mean, by the way, you know, we need bees to pollinate the fruits and vegetables unless they get swallowed.
So, I know.
What happened?
I got wedged there. I was just talking, and all of a sudden this bee just zinged right down my throat. And I got wedged in my throat, but, you know, I just kept going. I ran to the drugstore and they gave me something for some bee sting, Benadryl or something. I can't even remember what it was.
It didn't sting you down in the gullet, did it?
No. There's a lot of real estate in my belly, Johnny. he was thriving like crazy.
Right.
But anyways, that was one of them.
Well,
that was interesting thing.
Yeah, that was one of those afternoons that more people remember that than some of the other stuff, you know, with all of the stats and so on. And so forth.
I know. It's but that was interesting that day. That went viral around the world. I couldn't believe it.
Well, that's what I said. You know, this is the kind of stuff. And obviously, you remember the heady days when you and Rob would be going on the Kimmel show and doing all the rest of that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's changed. It's tempered somewhat now.
Oh, yeah. It's really, really tempered. And we're just focused on building the economy, building hospitals. We're building 50 new hospitals or expanding hospitals with a tune of $50 billion. Adding 30,000 new long-term care beds compared to the Liberals at 600 over 15 years. Ours are 30,000. We're going on all cylinders right now, full steam. It's just really, really amazing the growth we've seen.
Well, let me ask you, because you know, it's an election year in America. So yeah. If it comes down, I mean, do you have a preference, Biden or Trump?
Well, I don't care. I'll work with anyone. I'm not at all involved in that. I think the economy down there is so powerful. The markets are so powerful. It doesn't matter who's in the big chair there. But I, you know, we always have your concerns on national security. But I don't care who's down there. We'll work with anyone.
Yeah. And how about in Canada? Poilievre gets in. Now, he's really put a marker down, building houses, getting rid of the gatekeepers. I mean, yeah. It's like, as I said earlier, singing off the same hymn sheet, you and him, and cutting the red tape, and also withholding infrastructure money unless the municipalities have actually delivered on the houses, not just a promise, but delivering. You got to subscribe to all of that.
Yeah, well, I work with anyone. I don't care who they are. You know, sometimes I'll get up with the PM and, you know, people get all hot that I'm standing there. But, you know, something, when we're delivering $3.1 billion announcement last time on healthcare, I'll stand up there with Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, whoever it is, to get the $3.1 billion.
That's not a lot of difference. By the way, have you ever met Poilievre?
Yeah, I've met him once.
And?
Yeah, it's up to him to win the election. I'm staying out of it. I'm not getting involved in that federal election. I have my hands full here in Ontario.
Wait a minute. You got involved in the municipal election.
Not really. I made a couple comments, but at the end of the day, once the people speak, I'll work with anyone.
You didn't regret those comments, did you? Do you have any regrets in general?
No, I look forward. I never look at the past, Johnny. I just keep looking forward, how we can always look at continuous improvement, do things better. And there's always room for improvement when you're in a government. You know, I always look at it as running a business, and that's what we've been doing. But I'll tell you, since we've been down there for 5.5 years, oh my goodness, what a difference now, in a positive way. And we were going the other direction with the Liberals. They literally destroyed the province and every single ministry when we walked through the doors. But we're fixing those problems that they created, and we're prospering now.
So no regrets, just blue skying here. On COVID, there came a report last week from McMaster that schools never should have been shut, and they were on three different occasions. I mean, if you had your, you know, a mulligan, a do-over, would you have kept the schools open?
Well, the way it worked, I listened to the medical experts, the chief medical officer and all the other experts. That was part of their advice. So I told the medical experts, I'm not a doctor. You take care of the health side. I'll take care of the economy. And it turned out pretty well. And not that this is a measuring stick at all, but when CBC came out a while back after the pandemic and said, Ontario did second best in the world next to Japan. And I love the Japanese. I thought we did better. But coming from CBC, I'll take second place.
Wow, that's almost a victory, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. From them? Absolutely.
I was going to say, is the media fair to you, Doug? Oh, I asked you that already, sort of answering it all over again. Yeah. But when we talk about other regrets, okay, look, people are going to wonder, because this is what I do. I get all kinds of people emailing me and texting
me,
saying, hey, ask him about the green belt. How come he reversed himself on that? How come he reversed himself on 124? My sister even texts me, says, you know, I'm in the healthcare business. There's doctors that are burnt out. We need more PSWs. Crime is going rampant. And
well,
Let
me answer it really quickly on the healthcare sector. When we walked into the province, healthcare was an absolute disaster. We've invested $21 billion more into healthcare. We've registered over 80,000 new nurses. As the Liberals fired 1,600 nurses, we registered over 80,000.
Are we feeling that already?
Oh, we're feeling it. 17,500 nurses last year registered. We're paying for all their expenses if they work out in a rural area. We've registered 10,450 new doctors. We're building medical schools for the first time in decades.
How come that's not widely reported? How come that's not widely reported?
Well, let's go back to your first question about does the media treat you fairly?
Oh, I see.
You know, but that's what we've done. You call any CFO, and you know, I mean, CEOs of hospitals, you know them around here. I just got off the phone with one of the largest hospitals in the country. And he said, man, what you've done is in healthcare is absolutely incredible. We have the lowest wait times right now, and I still think it's unacceptable.
Well, yeah,
wait times for operations.
Yep.
But we have to do better on that. But the lowest in the country, the ratio from patient to doctor, we just invested another $110 million in making sure that ratio is going to be, once that's all implemented, 98% of the people will have a primary care doctor. So there's still endless room for improvement in healthcare, but man, has it come a long way, just in a massive way, right across the board. And all you have to do is talk to any CEO of any hospital, and they'll tell you.
I'm going to shoot the bolt here, because like everything and anything that people wanted me to ask, I got your attention now.
Yeah.
So let me just a few more moments on this one. You know, these safe injection sites and harm reduction and everything like that, you know, a lot of people, in fact, there's a neighborhood here, South Riverdale, just a real mess for the neighborhood. A woman got killed last summer.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's a tragedy.
What's your view on these things? Are they failed experiments, or what's the deal?
Well, you know, there's 17 of them around the province. I take a different approach. I'm not saying close them down. I just take a different approach. People should go into rehab.
Into rehab?
I don't know if you can force anyone to do anything, but really encourage them to get into rehabilitation. That's more successful. I always say you don't put an alcoholic outside the LCBO and then tell them not to go in there, right? It's serious. We put more money into mental health and addiction because I'm very, very passionate about mental health and addiction. We put $3.8 billion in. I was the first government ever to dedicate a minister of mental health and addiction, Michael Tobolo. So it's a very serious, serious issue that we're doing everything we can. So it's a little bit of both.
But you take it out of a community where there are school kids and daycares and so on?
You know, in that community, you said, they aren't too happy about
they're
about
suing.
That. Yeah, and it's really unfortunate. So we're auditing the whole system there, and we're going to get it straightened out one way or another.
I think we covered a lot of ground today, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
We got to leave something in the hopper for the next time, no?
Yeah, well, I look forward to coming on again, Johnny, and I appreciate all the listeners out there. And if they ever need help, please feel free to reach out to me, and I'll help them any way I can.
Yeah. Well, what do they do? Call you? You got a number?
Oh, yeah,
you want?
Call my office, and they'll get the message over to me. And, you know, it doesn't matter if, you know, they agree or disagree. Once I finish talking to them,
you actually talk to them?
I call everyone.
Wow.
Everyone.
That's like Rob.
I'll get, I don't know, a couple hundred messages a day on everything. And
Where do you find the time?
Well, you just got to constantly do it nonstop. Every chance you have, you return messages, return calls.
You have any downtime to do anything?
No. But I like working.
Yeah?
I like working, but it's
I remember seeing you at a Leaf game. I mean, on occasion, you get out to the hockey game or you get to the cottage.
I haven't been out there in quite some time. But no matter where you go, you're returning messages. But do you know what people appreciate, even though they disagree? You get a phone call back.
Sure.
And I listen to them. And so that's what you need to do, is listen. And if you get things right, that's great. If you don't, then you have to change and do a course correction. And very few elected officials, politicians, they dig their heels in. They don't want to change. I believe in if you make a decision, people don't want you, change it. And then apologize, tell them what you're going to do to correct it. And that's what works. You admit your mistakes when you make them. Very few politicians do that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you don't regret coming in today, do you?
Not at all. Not at all, Johnny. It's a real pleasure being in here. And again, I just want to say God bless the people of Ontario. We live in the greatest jurisdiction on the planet.
Well, I appreciate you coming in, and we're going to do it again.
Yeah, we will. I look forward to it.
Listen to the John Oakley Show live each weekday afternoon from 3 until 6. If you live in the Toronto area, just turn that AM dial to 640 and listen anywhere on Earth 24 hours a day by going to 640toronto.com. Follow on Twitter at @AM640Oakley. You've been listening to A Curious Cast. New podcasts and shows are debuting all the time. So check back often to see what's new in the Curious Cast Library.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.